Coming to in the middle of a cemetery was never high on my bucket list. Not that I had a bucket list at 22, but if I had one at all, hanging out in a graveyard wasn't ever going to be on it. Of all the things that woke me up, it was the grainy yet damp sensation of dirt on my hands. Not the rain pelting me, not the lash of wind chilling me to the bone. Not the fact that I was outside when I should be warm in my bed. No, those kernels of awareness came later. It was those simple granules of earth on my fingertips. My first thought before I took in the world around me was, Mom's gonna be pissed. Yes, even being a 22-year-old college senior, I gave a shit what my mommy thought. Especially when my mother was the reigning queen of finding me asleep in my bed with a spent charcoal in my hand and losing her freaking mind. To my credit, I hadn't been the one who decided I should live at home while I went to college. Nor had I been the one who'd insisted on crisp white sheets for a person who was perpetually covered in remnants of whatever art medium she'd used that day. Nope, that was on her. Aching and groggy, it took a full minute to understand that I was A, outside, and B, in the middle of a cemetery. At night, in a damp, nearly see-through nightgown that had never once graced my wardrobe. Seemed legit. Honestly, if I weren't in so much pain, if my gut wasn't roiling with hunger and my head wasn't feeling like someone had taken a pickaxe to it, I could have sworn I was dreaming. Well, not dreaming exactly. Having a nightmare would be more like it. I mean, why else would I be covered in dirt sitting on a freshly dug mound of a grave? It took a hell of a lot of concentration to read the headstone, but I wasn't at all surprised to read my own name. Sloan Emerson Cabot, with my birth and death date right underneath it. As nightmares went, this was pretty solid. Too bad I had the sneaking suspicion I was in no way dreaming. After what seemed like ages, I moved, struggling to stand on unsteady legs. I stumbled, tripping over my own feet as I plopped back down on the loose earth of another freshly dug grave. I didn't want to look at the headstone, but it was hard to miss. It was double-sized, the granite slab meant for a couple. The cold finally touched me then. The rain lashed at my face, the pain smashing into me in a wave so vast it threatened to pull me under as I read the names etched into the stone. Rosalind and Peter Cabot. Right underneath their names was a death date that matched mine. I heaved, even though my stomach was empty and had been for what felt like a year. When it finally calmed down, I stood again, wobbled, but managed to stay vertical long enough to recognize the cemetery. I passed it every day on my way to school. Whispering Pines Cemetery was 3 blocks away from my house. In the opposite direction, closer to campus, was the police station. Dithering, freezing, and hungrier than I'd ever been in my life, I fought with myself. Should I go see if this was all a bad dream and hope my parents were sitting in their favorite chairs in our living room? Or did I go with my gut, knowing this wasn't fake or a dream or some elaborate prank? Did I go to the police? The only people I could think of who might be able to help me understand this mess? You could go to Aunt Julie. That thought streaked across my brain like a flare in the darkness. Aunt Julie wasn't my aunt, but my mother's best friend. She might know what happened. But Julie was on the other side of town, not 2 blocks down the street. Cops first. They could call Aunt Julie. They could tell me if this was all one big joke. Or they could lock you up in an insane asylum. That was an option, too. No. Someone had done something to me. Someone had hurt me, hurt us. The police would help. They would call Aunt Julie. They would straighten this whole mess out. Or I'd wake up. That was still on the table.